time to talk to the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks right here on the Sports Ticket. It's Brian Haney. His appearance brought to you each and every week by the fine folks at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Brian, it seems like we haven't talked for weeks because there's been so much stuff that has happened, which is somewhat weird because KU season ended a while back, but yet tons of news to report since we last talked to you. Carlton Bragg transferring, Speed declares for the draft, doesn't sign an agent, Bill Self gets a couple talented brothers from Memphis. I mean, it's been a busy week off the court for KU.
Really has. You know, we talked last week right before the Carlton Bragg news went down, and you were kind of pressing me on how come I wasn't including him in the rotation projections for next year, and you never want to assume too much. You certainly don't want to say something too soon. But we had a feeling that, you know, it was going to be a situation where, you know, Carlton wanted to look for a reset and restart elsewhere. And sure enough, I think within 10 minutes of hanging up, that was the case. And then I didn't think that by Sunday we'd have a Devontae Graham announcement. Yeah. But how incredible was that? And I think that really speaks to something that I've hinted at on some previous reports, that Devontae, for so many reasons, has a chance to go down as one of the most beloved Jayhawks ever. Now, be very clear in understanding what I'm saying. I'm not saying one of the greatest ever. I still could. But when I say most beloved, here's what goes into that. He's got charisma. He's got that million-dollar smile. He truly treats people, regardless of whether they're his head coach or the guy that passes out the towels. He treats everybody the same, with the same care and kindness and respect. He is obviously a guy that has a flair for the dramatic, and I realize our last impression of him in his junior season was the worst game of his career, but when he's on, I mean, it was Devontae that was hitting daggers in the clutch in some of those big moments of his junior season, and I think for all these reasons, he's a really just charismatic, magnetic personality that you're drawn to, and now that he's coming back for a fourth year, he has a chance to carve out a special place in KU basketball history amongst the most beloved and celebrated and appreciated Kansas players. And the analogy I always like to use, and I mean no disrespect whatsoever to Darrell Arthur when I say this, because he was terrific. Heck, he gave us 20 in the title game, all right? But how many people really talk about Darrell Arthur on a daily basis walking around the state or walking around the campus where I work?
Not many.
Not many. How many talk about Sherron Collins? A ton.
Yeah.
Everybody's always comparing who's going to be the next Sherron Collins, and obviously we had that debate all season. Now they'll say who's the next Frank Mason. But the point is, by staying two more years, by climbing to number five on the career scoring list, obviously he won a national championship, but so too did Darrell. The guys that stay 4 years, the guys that endear themselves to the fan base for the full duration of what's possible, are the guys that tend to be held in highest regard on the ultimate platform. Devontae was already BMOC, big man on campus, just in terms of his popularity. He jets around campus on this little scooter moped thing, waving and smiling at everybody, stopping to kiss babies and shake hands and pet dogs. I mean, he's just that kind of guy. And now he's coming back for a fourth year. I really feel like, you know, what he has to do in front of him, the opportunities are special from a basketball standpoint, but also from a legacy standpoint in terms of how he'll be remembered. And that's something that I told you I really felt was special to him, and I think that factored into his decision, how he'd be remembered. Now he has a chance to go down as one of the guys that gets his name hung and jersey hung in the rafters, has a chance to win a national championship for a fourth season here. He felt and he said there's unfinished business to take care of, and for all these reasons, that was the best news Kansas could have gotten in this postseason. I realize the other news you're referring to that I still can't talk about completely just yet in accordance with NCAA rule, that's pretty big news too. But to get Devontae back, it sets Kansas on a path that has them right back there in the preseason, top three or four teams, and right back there in terms of expectation of a national title contender in 2017-2018.
Based on your description of Devontae, I believe that you could be his press secretary and he could end up being the mayor of Lawrence, kissing babies, doing this, doing that. That's pretty impressive at a young age. He might have a political career ahead of him, man.
He might, if that's what he wants to do. I'm serious, though. He is a kid that has superstar status on this campus, and yet the way he treats people and the fun-loving personality that you see on the court is very much what you get around the hallways, in the athletic department, around the classrooms across Mount Oriad. that's Devontae Graham. And for that reason, again, I'm not saying greatest, one of the greats ever. I'm saying the most beloved ever, certainly in my lifetime. I can't think of a kid that I've respected and liked more than Devontae Graham. And obviously, to be remembered is truly special. You have to get to a Final Four and win a national title. And those are the biggest driving forces why he's coming back for his fourth season.
Talking to Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, here today with us on the Sports Ticket. One of the things it surprised some people, I think, is how early Devontae made his decision. But that really helps Coach Self, doesn't it, on the recruiting trail as to knowing what he has coming back maybe a little sooner than he anticipated?
It's huge. It really is. And again, I hate saying it each time, and I can't talk about specifics, but I don't want your listeners to think that I've got my head in the sand when it comes to guys that Kansas is targeting. We just can't talk about them until they sign and they're announced. But there are certain guys that were waiting on certain moves. And in one case, this is actually a selling point. A lot of people worried, would it be, you know, a detriment if he stayed in some cases. I think in other cases, it makes certain guys want to come here because, hey, this team's going to have a chance to cut down nets next season with you know, senior guard that's going to be a preseason All-American type leading them, maybe preseason Big 12 Player of the Year candidate, and Malik Newman stepping in alongside him and everything else that Kansas brings back. I think that attracts some folks. And I think, you know, specific recruiting conversations about guys that play similar positions, I think there's enough variance to Devontae's game that you can get them to play side by side if we're talking about Kansas recruiting similar type players. So I think it was big because it certainly lets Coach Self know exactly what his biggest needs are. It does help some of those recruits in making their decision. And I really genuinely believe in more cases than not, it helps KU that he's coming back because of where that puts the expectation level for next season and the chance to compete for the highest of stakes, which is why most kids come here. You know, if you're getting a kid to come to Kansas, you're not giving him the sales pitch, hey, come here and you'll get 25 shots a game. Come here and you're going to get the ball and you're going to be the man. Josh Jackson came here because he knew he had a chance to compete for a national championship. He knew he would be coached hard and that some days it wouldn't be comfortable, but Bill Self was going to get every drop of potential out of him and make him the best version of himself he could be. And that's what the type of kids that we want to have at Kansas are made of. We're not necessarily looking for the kids that want to come somewhere just to get theirs, get their minutes, get their shots, get their shine. We want kids that want to come here and compete for the highest of stakes. And when you get a kid that has five-star potential and capabilities, but also has a five-star mindset of I want to come there to compete for championships, to hang a banner and be remembered forever, those are the Bill Self pedigree type guys. And I think those are guys that Kansas is still in hot pursuit of here, looking to add at least a couple of more before this signing class is done. I told you last week, Coach Self felt like 2 to 3 additions in the spring. We've not seen anything to change that at this point because any news you've heard up to now is you know, relating to the following season. So we're excited about what the future holds. And I think looking at some of the guys he's in on right now, it could still be an even more fruitful spring out on the recruiting trails. And that's obviously music to the ears of every Kansas listener in the Sports Ticket audience.
Absolutely. Svi Mykhailiuk, not going to hire an agent, but going to test the waters. This was pretty much expected, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that Svi has an opportunity to impress and surpass current projections. And I wish him all the best if he does, because obviously there's a lot to like about his game and his youth. He's so young. I mean, he came here at 16. So, I mean, the ceiling on him is still awfully huge. And it's not like your typical guy heading into his fourth year where, you know, NBA scouts start to think, well, we've seen, you know, the ceiling on him already. He's pretty much tapped out. He's so young, he can continue to blossom and develop. And we saw some of that development this year. So I think it's a good thing that he's going to see where he's at. It'll be a good evaluation process, even if he ultimately comes back, because he'll be given a list of things he needs to work on and improve that he can do better in the next season, if that's what ultimately happens. And I don't know. But I know as we sit here today, he's certainly not projected as a first-rounder. And yet, you and I both know, it only takes one team to develop an infatuation. And if he's going to be a, you know, early second-round type guy, maybe he stays in. But as of right now, there's not many mocks that have him in the first or second, and yet there's plenty of teams that want to see what he's got. And thus, there's plenty of opportunity for him to jump up into that picture. And I would, you know, caution you not to look at some of these websites that put out mock drafts as gospel, because again, you know, they're educated guesses, and again, it just takes one GM to like a kid. So hopefully it all works out for him, but obviously selfishly at Kansas, we'd love to have him back. And make no mistake, Devontae's return is a huge feather in the cap of keeping Svi, knowing that his best friend is going to be there. And, you know, I'm sure Devontae is supportive of Svi regardless of what he decides, but there's also a part of Devontae that's probably in his ear a little bit saying, hey, dog, come on, let's come back and let's hang a sixth banner. You know, and I think that's not lost on Svi either. So it's going to be an interesting few weeks there. Just from a Kansas fan's perspective, though, the fact that you don't have to sweat a couple of those guys going through that process, I think, is big. Obviously, if Josh declares if and when that happens, he's definitely hiring an agent and staying in. So the fact that it's just one right now where we're waiting until mid-May on, I think that'll make for a little bit more relaxing and easy on the nerves springtime for Kansas fans that hang on every word of those draft updates. And now we can start to project and expect a little bit about the season ahead, and that's really exciting when you've got players like this in the fold.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each Thursday on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt, big KU fan, and Michelle at 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. You mentioned Josh Jackson. You know, it's been a week now since we last spoke with you. We asked the question, you know, why hasn't Josh, a lot of times these players, like we saw Malik Monk, make a pretty quick decision, go into the draft, and I'm going to hire an agent. Is this just a matter of time, and should we expect something here in the next week or two with Josh, or what are you hearing?
Well, I would think that it's coming soon. I think that, as I guessed last week, and it's an educated guess, it's not directly from Josh's lips, because we haven't seen much of Josh on my side of campus, because I've been working baseball lately and spring football, and saw him at the banquet the other night, but didn't have a chance to ask him directly, nor would that have been the place to do it. I just told you last week, I think it makes a lot of sense that he's kind of sat back here to give Frank Mason his moment in the sun. Coach Self and Frank and Chris Tyson, our sports information director for men's basketball, they've been making the celebrity awards circuit, you know, for the last couple of weeks, going to Phoenix, going to L.A., talking about a lifetime supply of Wendy's for Frank for winning the Wooden Award, all that good stuff. They've been busy. And not that Josh couldn't put out his own release and that kind of thing, but let's think for a second about Josh Jackson, an individual, for those that actually listened to the interviews this year and got to know him as much as you could as a human being and not just a rim-rocking basketball star. He's not the type of kid that as soon as the final game ends and his team lost, he's sitting in his locker room and he fires off a tweet saying, I'm done, I'm out of here. And that's not meant to point at anybody like Lonzo Ball or anything like that. I'm just saying he's a little bit more well thought out, and he might want to have a sit-down press conference where he has a chance in front of you know, a throng of media to do what Xavier Henry did and talk about how much this place meant to him in the 1 year he had. He may want to do a more thorough, heartfelt, you know, complete type process. And then again, it may just be a release, but he's not going to do that on his own, typing something up on the notes section, notes app of his smartphone, and then taking a screenshot and firing it off. You know, he's going to go about it the right way. And so he's been deliberate with this. I don't think that it's because he's staying up at night just completely torn, making a yes and no pro and con list or anything like that. I think he's letting Frank have his moment, and he'll do it in due time. But again, as Bill Self said, it would be the shocker, you know, maybe of the decade if he came back. And Self reiterated the other night, do we realize how good he is, how great he was for us, how truly special of a talent we just had a chance to watch the last 36 games? And so I don't think Kansas fans should hold their breath in that regard, but rather celebrate a guy that is going to continue to represent Kansas well at the next level, maybe as one of the most impactful players that we've seen since Paul Pierce. Obviously, Wiggins and Embiid are the flag carriers currently, but depending on where he gets drafted to, and I saw one mock the other day, had him going number one to Boston, another going number three to L.A. But if he goes to a major market and plays to the level that we think he can play, he has a chance to be one of the next era faces of the NBA, because so much of that is where you're drafted to and the visibility of your team and career and all that. And some of these projections are looking pretty good for Josh, and I know he has the work ethic to back it up with his game once he gets there, too. So really excited to see what the next 2 months hold for him.
Man, can you imagine the Celtics, the number one seed in Eastern Conference, getting Josh Jackson because they have the Nets pick, by the way. We were talking about that earlier. That would be something. Of course, Paul Pierce had an unbelievable career with the Celtics, and his jersey would be hung from the rafters there at Boston Garden. Okay, let's turn our attention to the KU spring game. As everything I've been reading and hearing and looking on social media, the players are pretty excited about the spring game, and they like the draft. Tell us the idea behind that and about the spring game coming up this weekend.
Well, they have two coaches, one for Team Jayhawks, which is Tony Hull, the associate head coach, who's been doing all the great recruiting progress you've seen out of the state of Louisiana. And then Kenny Perry, who works with the secondary and recruiting coordinator, really fun-loving, hard-nosed, fantastically vocal, in-your-face, but passionate coach. These are two great guys because they're both just a ton of fun to be around, and they're going to embrace this one-day head coaching role on each respective side with a whole lot of trash talk and some pageantry and all that. And so they went through the motions of a full-blown draft, complete with putting on the ball cap of the team that drafted you, whether it was Team KU or Team Jayhawks, and had everybody in the big football meeting room over at the football complex, and one after one, guys were coming off the board. And the way they did it was, let's say I draft Dorrance Armstrong. Well, then you're going to get the on your team automatically the second string defensive end. That way, the thing didn't take 4 hours, and that way, nobody's feelings were hurt because, oh, man, I was the last pick. I was just irrelevant of the 2017 KU football spring draft. As soon as a starter was taken, his backup went to the other team. And they only actually televised or live-streamed the first 10 picks, five on each side. But this was what I found to be funny. I thought Kenny Perry dominated the draft by getting three all-conference defensive players with his first three picks, Dorrance Armstrong, Daniel Wise, Mike Lee. He added Ben Johnson, who, mark my words, I think Ben's going to have a breakout year at tight end and be an all-conference guy. As I talked to him yesterday, he said, new year, new me, I'm dialed in, I'm ready to go. And he's been just turning heads left and right in spring camp. And then I can't remember, I'm trying to think who his fifth pick was, but he went heavy on defense. And then on the other side, Tony Hull is going left tackle, Akeem Adeniji. He went with Steven Sims, his number one pick, wide receiver out of Houston. He drafted four of his first five guys, all offensive players. And then to compensate for that, the one guy that plays on the other side of the ball, his last name is spelled defense. So I guess he thought he got enough defensive talent by drafting a kid whose name is pronounced defense.
Nice.
But Hassan Defense was the one, you know, first day pick, so to speak, on the defensive side of the ball for Tony Hull. So I think it's going to be fun to see those guys go back and forth. And just in case your fans are wondering, what about Peyton Bender? What about Carter Stanley? Crafty move by the coaching staff here. Why would they have one of their assistants pick one quarterback over the other when that might send a message of who the leader is right now? And it's not that they worry about the competition finding out who's leading in the quarterback chase. Just psychologically, for the two guys in the battle, they didn't want to do that yet. And that's a competition that, as I told you last week, is going to play out into a couple of weeks deep in August fall camp, I think. So they flipped a coin and then had the associating, you know, if it's tails, so-and-so goes here, heads, so-and-so goes there. And that way there was no drafting of the two QBs, and they automatically were assigned to a team based on a coin flip. I thought that was a sneaky good move on behalf of the head coach and his staff. And it made for a really fun day yesterday just to see the guys hooting and hollering, and they would be drafted and then come in the other room and have a quick interview like it was, where they used to do it up in New York back in the day. It wasn't Madison Square Garden all the time. It used to be one of the big music halls up there when they had the draft before it started rotating around to different cities. Mm-hmm. It had that same feel to it. Huh. And, I think a really creative thing that will inject some fan interest heading in the gates on Saturday.
That sounds like fun. That gets everybody involved, and we lose track of it sometimes, I think, especially in the media and as fans, that this still is a game, okay? These things are all games. It's not life or death. It's still a game, and sometimes we take it a little bit too seriously. So I like how he incorporated that fun into it. Okay, time for off-the-wall question before we let you go. I don't know if you heard, but Eddie Murphy's brother, Charlie Murphy, passed away yesterday at the age of 57. Did you ever watch this? Now, this is not your question, but did you watch the Chappelle Show at any point in time?
First off, it was Radio City Music Hall.
Yes, that's right.
Secondly, love the Chappelle Show. I heard that Dave Chappelle has some new feature out on Netflix now.
I've heard that. I don't know much about it yet. He came out of nowhere finally. I know he's been on the late night show talk circuits here the last 6 to 12 months after disappearing, as you know, from millions of dollars that he would have gotten if he continued his show. Now, Charlie Murphy, of course, was in a couple of those skits, the Rick James skit, and it was Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories, if you remember correctly. It all came from Charlie Murphy, and he passed away yesterday at the age of 57, and so there's been Rick James has issued his condolences, Dave Chappelle as well. But my off-the-wall question for you is, what was your favorite skit, whether it was on the Chappelle Show, or what's your favorite skit you've watched on television? It could be Saturday Night Live or something else.
You know, that's a terrific question. Probably it would have been Saturday Night Live in the early 90s. I realize you have some older listeners that would say the 70s and 80s were the glory years of SNL.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in 1980, so I didn't get to see Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy and some of those guys in their heyday. I was in like the Mike Myers era, Chris Farley, David Spade, Adam Sandler, some of those guys. But Mike Myers and Dana Carvey. I grew up on Dana Carvey, too. He had the church lady and all that. I think Mike Myers was probably my favorite. And I don't know that it was any one particular skit. I used to have that British kid taking baths. He's like, now you know my name
is Simon, and I like to do drawings.
Yeah, exactly. Hello, everybody. And then he'd be like, he would say something that I know if I say it right now in the British accent, you're going to cut a liner later.
Probably.
The next year, talking about, are you looking at something in particular? So I'm not going to say it, but anybody that saw that skit knows exactly what I'm referring to, and that was pretty funny stuff. So I'd say Mike Myers was my favorite sketch comedy guy growing up as a kid.
My favorite one, I thought you might say it, because you and I'm on the same wavelength a lot, but Chris Farley living in a van down by the river is one of the funniest skits I've ever seen, and the fact that Christina Applegate and David Spade are losing it on the couch makes it even funnier. But those were some great skits. I grew up with the same guys, the same cast of characters, and man, they were a hoot. There's no question about that, man.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the van, your old buddy Matt fell asleep on the can. Gotta love it.
Absolutely.
Matt Farley.
Absolutely. Bless his soul,
Chris
man.
Chris Farley, Matt, I can't remember the character's name, Matt something.
Motivational speaker. It was good stuff. Hey, always good stuff talking with you, Brian. Have fun with the spring game, and we'll review the spring game coming up next week with you.
Looking forward to it. Thanks as always, Wade. Take care, bud.
Take care, man. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, joining us each and every Thursday right here on the Sports Ticket. And his appearance brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 785-738-5701.